Americans and all those that love God and liberty listening in around the world tonight. Welcome back to the Officer Jack McGlam program. I'm that old retired cop, Jack McGlam, back with you tonight. Happy to be here, and I hope all is going well in your life. We had kind of a rough day today. Our doctor at the university in Washington State, at the Washington State University, they have a veterinarian hospital there at the university, and they have a research department for animals. She called us this morning and told us that our little Sneaky had passed away last night, our little cockatoo, and it's been kind of a bummer of a day. My wife bawled her eyes out, and my dear friend Carol cried, and I cried some, and it's amazing, folks. It's absolutely amazing how these little precious gifts from God that come into our lives can have such an effect on our lives. Some of you are laughing right now, I'm sure, saying, oh, my gosh, it's only a bird, or it's only a cat, or it's only a dog. But it is amazing. You know, it wasn't, he'd been with us for 20 years, and he came down out of heaven. He just came right down out of the sky and landed in our yard in Phoenix. And I hope and pray, I talked to Pastor Butch Paul today, and we both agreed we hope that our animals are in heaven with us, because it would make heaven so much nicer if we can obtain the gift of, you know, earn the gift of getting to heaven. You know, if we go there ourselves, that's always a lot of work, but it's worth it, of course. But we certainly hope our little gifts of God that were created by our Lord, the little animals that share our lives with us and bring us so much joy, are there with us, because that would certainly make it heaven to a lot of us. But tell you a story, folks. When I was early on in my police career there in Phoenix, Arizona, I was to start a program that became a national program with the help of the Sears Roebuck Foundation, called the Officer Friendly Program, that swept the United States in the United States school system. Some of you might have gone through the Officer Friendly Program, where a police officer came out to your school. And we're up on our first break, and I'll be right back and talk to you about Alley-Oop, a friend of mine.
With Valentine's Day rapidly approaching on February 14th, the American Gold Rose Company reminds you that their beautiful collection of real roses dipped in 24-karat gold may be just what you're looking for. The classic rose is priced at only $49.95. It's 11 inches long and comes in a beautiful red gift box. There's the Hollywood Elite Rose for only $65, where your special someone receives a long-stem gold rose, 17 inches long, delivered to their door in a beautiful gold presentation box. Both are unique gifts. And when you buy any two gold roses, you'll receive free a genuine rose leaf dipped in 24-karat gold, a $30 value free. The American Gold Rose Company. Call now at 1-800-458-7134. That's 1-800-458-7134. Fresh cut roses dipped in 24-karat gold, delivered to their door, that last a lifetime. That's 1-800-458-7134 or online at AmericanGoldRose.com.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of Choice Garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network, and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
Jack McLam program, folks, and we're talking about just briefly here a loss in my wife and I's family, our little cockatoo, Sneaky, and Precious is there by herself now. That was his sweetie, the other cockatoo we had, a little female, and I'm sure she's wondering what's going on. Angie and I left him about 3 months ago, and now Sneaky has left her, and she's probably wondering what's going on, but I was talking about when I first became a cop in Phoenix, Arizona, and I was blessed to, within the first 3 years of my career as a police officer, to be dubbed the highest decorated officer in the history of Phoenix, Arizona Police Department. And a number of awards I won was for creating a program that became a national program with the help of the Sears Roebuck Foundation. I started that program in the city of Phoenix when I was appointed to create a school program for children in the high minority area, the South Phoenix, the high crime area, which is mostly the school children are Latino and black. And I'm a white police officer. So I had difficulty. I was going to have difficulties anyway. My sergeant, who was a black sergeant, told me, he says, Jack, you're going to have some problems. You're a white person going into black and Latino schools, and you're also a cop. And you're going to go into school in a police uniform, and the black and Latino children are taught, many of them are taught that we're the devil. Cops are the devil. And when they see those uniforms, they go running. They just run in terror to get away from us. And I'm supposed to go into elementary schools and schmooze the little kids and talk about stranger danger and safety and all of that, and supposed to be able to communicate with these young children that have been taught to pretty much hate police officers in the high crime area, because after all, they see us drag their moms and dads and brothers and sisters away in handcuffs, and sometimes they don't come back for years. And so it's a tough situation, but anyway, I created a program under the belief that I could use some of my family pets and take the family pets into the elementary schools. And by taking the pets into the elementary schools, the elementary children, little black and Latino children, would love the pets that I brought in to show them. And hopefully they would love me, Officer Jack McLam. Well, I started doing that, and I took into the classroom a little snake in my briefcase. I had a briefcase I'd carry in, a little snake called Sneaky Snake. He was a little South American red-tailed boa constrictor, and a little alligator, baby alligator, about 8 inches long, called Alley-Oop. And I had this separated in my briefcase. I put a separation in my briefcase so the snake couldn't get to the alligator and the alligator couldn't get to the snake. And I took them into the classroom in my briefcase, and I started talking to the children. And I had my first class. There was a beautiful, fluffy. I won't say that she was fat, but she was fluffy, with a great smile, a black school teacher. And she had just one great smile. When she smiled, she was the kind of smile that the world smiled with her, and just a great smile. And she was so happy to have me come into her room. And, of course, the children were in fear of me because I was a white cop, and it was in the projects. The projects, as you know, if you've been around projects, you know that in most cities they don't mix the black and Latinos in the same project. In Phoenix, we didn't either. On one side of one side of East Van Buren, the high prostitution and dope area was the Sidney P. Osborne Black Projects, and on the other side was the Dupa Villa Latino Projects in the poorest part of town. And the little children had learned to hate the police there because they're taught that we're the devil, as I said. And so I go in with my briefcase on, and the little kids just about took a deep breath and kind of shrinked away from me. And the teacher didn't know how this was going to work because I'm in there to talk about stranger danger and playing safe, and I had created a little program of my own. And got into talking to the kids about the canals in Phoenix. The canals in Phoenix are very dangerous. They carry water in them, and the irrigation system for the farmers and all, and landowners too. And the children get in them and play and swim, and they drown because the water is very swift in these canals that have been built all over Phoenix. And so we police officers constantly chase kids out of the canals, tell them not to swim in there because we get tired of pulling their drowned little bodies out of the canals. So I did a portion of my program towards the end on, the middle of the program. Yes. About the middle of the program, I start talking about the canals and ask the kids, what's in the canals? Why are the canals so different or dangerous? What's in the canals? And the little kids are so creative, folks. They said, there's poison in the canal. And everybody goes, woo, there's poison in the canal. And then they say, there's sticks in the canal. Yeah, there's sticks in the canal. Well, there's spiders in the canal. And everybody goes, woo, there's spiders in the canal. And before long, sure enough, every single class, the kids would finally say, there's snakes in the canal. And about that time, I opened my briefcase, and I say, yes, there's snakes in the canal. And I'd reach in, pull out Sneaky Snake, a live little red-tailed Colombian boa, okay, about 2 feet long. And the kids would scream. And when I did this the first time, the very rotund, beautiful, smiled black teacher bolted from the room. I mean, she ran out the back door of the classroom. She thought the devil had really come to her classroom when I pulled that 2-foot snake out of my briefcase, and old Sneaky Snake is moving around trying to get away from me. And so she's outside the classroom, left her kids in there with the devil in the black police uniform, actually dark blue, and she's looking through the window in panic. She don't know what to do because I just pulled a snake out in her classroom, and the kids are laughing and laughing and laughing, and I had them all line up, and they come up and petted Sneaky Snake while the teacher's looking in the window of the classroom. And the kids absolutely love Sneaky Snake. And so after all the kids lined up, come up, petted Sneaky Snake, the teacher finally came in and stood in the back of the room, and the kids were just having the greatest time petting the little snake. And so then we got into what else is in the canal, what other dangers are in the canal, and it wasn't long before one of the kids says, there's crocodiles and alligators in the canal. Well, all of a sudden I reached into my briefcase and pulled out little Alley-Oop, the live alligator. And boy, the kids went crazy again, you know. And little Alley-Oop, of course, is an alligator, and he's snapping his jaws trying to eat me. because little Alley-Oop always swore he would eat Officer McLam one day, but he was too little at about a foot long, and he couldn't eat me, and so I'd hold him up, and he was snapping his jaws and acting really fierce. And so we talk about Alley-Oop, you know, and the kids absolutely loved the program. And I became officer-friendly for the city of Phoenix. And I had convinced my sergeant to let me create this program, folks, because we were having a severe problem in the project areas with little kids jumping out of the bushes long about evening time when it starts to get almost dark. And they'd step out of the bushes, and they'd throw Coke bottles and rocks at our police cars and the officers, and they were causing injury to the officers and damage to the squad cars. And then they'd run away. Well, you couldn't catch these little kids, but because by the time the officer stopped the patrol car and jumped out, the kids would split, and they'd run into the projects, and you wouldn't be able to catch them. So we were having a horrible time with kids bombing Satan, you know, the devil, which is the police officers rolling through the projects to try to keep the project safe and so forth. And so I'd created this program to go in to try to make friends and let the kids know that the officers are their friends. Well, it worked. And the little black and Latino children loved Officer Friendly, which I was dubbed, and they loved Sneaky Snake and Alley-Oop, the alligator. And so I had a wonderful time for 5 years, and I went all over the city of Phoenix and did this officer-friendly program. But about in the middle of it, the first year, the Sears Roebuck Foundation had heard about it. And by the way, the property damage to squad cars in those areas fell off precipitously. I mean, the damage to the squad cars and the Coke bottles and rocks being thrown at the officers really, truly diminished tremendously. And the chief of police and the city of Phoenix really loved the officer-friendly program because it was saving the city a lot of money. And the kids finally realized not all cops are the devil. There's officer-friendly out there with Sneaky Snake and Alley-Oop. And so I'll be right back to finish up this little story after this break, and then we'll get on with the news here. I think it's an important story to relate what I'm about to tell you. So we'll finish it up when we get back after this break. Just stay tuned for more of the officer-friendly program. Be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898.
That's 1-800-691-7898.
The future of health and wellness is here, and a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Officer Jack McLam program. Just to end up here, I want to say that as I was doing my officer-friendly program in the city of Phoenix and enjoying it very much, the kids just enjoyed it, and they enjoyed Sneaky Snake and Alley-Oop. And Alley-Oop was growing. The first year he grew probably about 5 inches, and Sneaky Snake wasn't growing very much. He was still about 2 foot. And so I literally saw thousands and thousands of wonderful children in elementary school. And anyway, it helped the police department in the city, but because the kids were no longer damaging police cars at the rate that they were and hitting officers with projectiles, rocks and bottles and so forth. And so the only thing is officers were scared at times because the kids now would run out of the bushes up to the police car and scream at the officers in the cars, and the officers almost draw their guns, and they say, "Is Alley-Oop in there? Is Sneaky Snake in there?" And they were laughing and playing with the officers, and so it was kind of disconcerting at first for the officers because the kids would usually throw bottles at them and call them terrible names and rocks at them, and now they were running out of the bushes and trying to see if Sneaky Snake and Alley-Oop and Officer Friendly was in the police car. So the officers had to have a whole different attitude with these young kids that were now thinking that the officers were their friends. And so anyway, the Sears Roebuck Foundation found out about it and came to me and asked me if I wouldn't mind doing a couple audio or videotapes of my school program that they could use across the nation to train other officers to do the officer-friendly program in all the schools. And so it swept the United States, and I was blessed to be awarded for that. And my life as a police officer was very, very good for the first 3 years, until I finally realized that we were doing things immoral and unlawful and unconstitutional and violating my own oath of office to defend the Constitution and the people's rights. Then my goodness, did my career potential end when I started writing my constitutional police and military publication. But up until that time, I had a wonderful time with the school kids, and I became the most highly decorated officer in the history of Phoenix, Arizona Police Department. But then after I started my constitutional police and military publication, I became the most fired officer in the history of Phoenix, Arizona. But that aside, Alley-Oop and Sneaky Snake retired after 5 years. I was no longer doing the officer-friendly program. I had moved into setting up block watches. I had my own office there in South Phoenix, and we'd go into the high crime areas, myself and another officer, and set up block watches. And we got into promoting how to safeguard your home and how to get together with neighbors to do block watches. And so we spent a number of years doing that and set up over 100 block watches in South Phoenix. But anyway, Alley-Oop and Sneaky Snake retired to my home. And my boys, we had always raised reptiles. We had a lot of snakes and a lot of other animals. Gila monsters, rattlesnakes, different kinds of snakes, and coyote, a coyote, and just all kinds of wild animals we would take in. And Alley-Oop was our only alligator, and he lived in a pond out back. Well, he began to grow and grow, and he died one day when I was throwing desert frogs. We would have desert frogs out on our land at certain times during the year, and he loved them, and I would take a desert frog and pick it up and throw it into the pond, and he'd go after it, and he would eat the frog. Well, one day he was thrashing around after I'd thrown a frog in his pond, and I saw him thrashing around, and I thought nothing of it because he was going after the frog. Well, what I didn't know is he was drowning. Yes, alligators can drown. As silly as it sounds, Alley-Oop had thrown up. He had swallowed this frog and started to throw up in the pond. Well, he couldn't get out of the water, and he sucked water into his lungs and died. So Alley-Oop, who had entertained probably 20,000, 30,000 kids, and all the kids knew Alley-Oop and loved him dearly, died. And so did this old cop. I loved Alley-Oop. He was about 5 feet long at that time. And I tell you, folks, I went through heck with the death of Alley-Oop. As strange as it sounds, that alligator that still wanted to eat me, we had that relationship that when I wanted to get him out of the pond, I'd reach down in the murky water and find him with my hand or hit his tail and then grab his tail and pull him out and take him for a walk in the park, you know, at the South Phoenix Parks there. I wouldn't let him eat any of the people, but the people always liked Alley-Oop. And so we had a strange relationship. But when Alley-Oop died, it bothered me tremendously. And so it is strange the affection that we have as people with God's creation, you know, when they become a part of our lives for a number of years. And I know that I'm hitting the bell with some of you out there, and others of you probably think that's an absolutely ridiculous thing if you haven't had some of God's little creatures in your home. Be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
Welcome back to the Officer Jack McLam program, folks. And we have a caller on the line. Caller, hold on for a few minutes, please. Anyway, folks, I just want to thank all of you that said a little prayer yesterday for Sneaky, our little cockatoo. It's going to be very sad. We'll be getting home in a few days, and that little beggar won't be there to scream at us and get all excited and run around his cage on top of his cage and jump onto my wife's shoulder and have an apple with us or part of our lunch, our sandwich, or a chicken bone. He loved chicken, by the way. I don't know why cockatoos love to eat chicken, but it'll be really something to have lost that lovely little creature of God's that we had for 20 years. But I want to thank all of you for saying a little prayer for him. We just have to believe that God had another reason for taking little Sneaky from us, and that's all we can say, is that we were blessed to have him for 20 years, and we're so thankful and thank the Lord for him, and he's gone now. He came down from heaven and landed in our yard 20 years ago, and I'd like to think he went back to heaven, you know, and so that's appropriate. It's just it's sad for those of us that are left here and enjoyed them so much. All right, let me get into real business here, but once again, thank you for praying for little Sneaky. That was wonderful for you to do that when there's so much that we have to pray for today. For example, folks, we have the Commandante, the Communist Commandante of Homeland Security, Mikhail Chertoff, and his ex-communist Russian KGB chief that he hired, and ex-communist German communist Stasi chief that he hired. According to a fella that I'm not all that familiar with, let me see if I got his name on here. I'll get it for you in a minute. Yeah, I'll get it for you. I'm looking at my my email here, and we want to thank Dan Anthony for sending this over to our two police and military associations. But it says here, Bank of America and Compass Bank managers were told Homeland Security will confiscate safe deposit boxes. Now, folks, this is what you do when you're under martial law. The government confiscates all safety deposit boxes and also seals and searches all of these storage facilities that you buy on a monthly basis and pay storage fees. The government wants to know what's in there, and they want to confiscate anything of value in your storage lockers and your safety deposit boxes. So here's what it says. It says, while all other points I mentioned in a previous post are fairly well documented and discussed elsewhere on the internet, the bank information I reported is not. This information is from my own experience and research. I discovered the disturbing news quite by accident, and by virtue of its importance, I decided to post my findings here and on a few other forums on the web. What did I hear? Well, a family member in Irvine, California, who's a bank manager at Bank of America, told us 2 weeks ago that her bank held a workshop where the last 2 days were dedicated to discussing their bank's new security measures. During these last 2 days, the workshop included members of the Homeland Security Office in the area who instructed them on how to field calls from customers and that what they are to tell them in the event of a national disaster, in other words, martial law. She said they were told how only agents from Homeland Security during such a natural disaster would be in charge of opening personal safe deposit boxes and determining what items would be given back to the bank customers, because it is your safety deposit box. At this point, they were told that no weapons, cash, gold, or silver will be allowed to leave the bank. Only various paperwork will be given to its owners of the safety deposit box. After discussing the matter with them at length, she and the other employees were told they cannot discuss this subject with anyone. The family member of mine has since given her notice and quit the bank. I found the news alarming and decided to find out more myself. On a trip to my bank here in Houston, I remarked to a young bank employee who's new there, and this is a quote from him to the bank employee. He says, "Well, I guess you've been told all that stuff by the manager and the Homeland Security agents about what to tell your customers." And to my amazement, the young woman came right out and said, "Yes, we've been through all that," then whispered to me across the counter, "But we're not supposed to talk about it. I could lose my job." And Gary Webb, that's who it is. The name slipped my mind here, but this is a man named Gary Webb. And I don't know how much credibility Gary Webb has. I don't know Gary Webb. But anyway, here's his story. He says, "Why haven't you heard more about this?" He says, "First of all, since maybe only bank's upper management is privy to the new rules, the information doesn't trickle down so easily. Also, keep in mind that employees have been told not to say anything about this, that it's a matter of national security with an allusion towards arrest if they do mention it. They face possibly losing their job in addition. Another reason is that the bank employees may not think it's important, or they believe they're in a unique part of the effort towards curtailing terrorism and helping America's internal defenses. It is also important to realize that not everyone's a writer or internet savvy. Even if the employees move beyond their bank's warning and constraints to want to tell the public, most people don't know how to get their experience published on the web in the public domain. It's a mystery they are not familiar with, so you never hear their story. How to get the information for yourself," says Gary Webb. "Visit your bank, ask a few well-worded questions, being careful to not arouse suspicion. If that doesn't work, talk to friends and other family members. Maybe they've heard something, or as a last resort, just point blank call the bank manager in private and demand to know what's all this business with the Homeland Security deciding what I can have and can't have for my safety deposit box. And tell me now, bank manager, or I will close my account today and see what happens. I'll bet if you put forth the effort, you'll get the answers you want. What should you do with this information? Well, I'm not trying to scare anyone, just provide some news I think is relevant to Americans. Each must find his way through this dark forest. You will do with this information what best suits you and your loved ones. Me personally, I see this as another indicator of how the criminal's in charge. Now, we know he's righteous on that because our government is run by criminals. I see this as another indicator of how the criminals in charge over our lives intend to fleece U.S. citizens completely, then to dispose of them as only refuge. Be prepared. Now, folks, if you can't believe this, okay, you don't believe this, and I'm not sure that it's true, but it kind of fits. It kind of fits with everything else as we're going towards martial law in America. Let me read to you something here that may pique a reference in your mind that maybe you've heard this before, okay? I want to read you an executive order put out by the President of the United States. Here's what it says. By virtue of the authority vested in me, by the way, executive orders are unconstitutional if they're used in the public or in the public domain, because executive orders was only supposed to be for housekeeping in the White House, in the cabinet, and so forth. It was never to be used to control the American people or their lives, okay? So it's totally unconstitutional. But anyway, it says, by virtue of the authority vested in me by Section 5B of the Act of October 6, 1917, as amended by Section 2 of the Act of March 19, 1933, in which Congress declared that a serious emergency existed, I, as President, do declare that the national emergency still exists, that the continued private hoarding of gold and silver by subjects of the United States, remember he said subjects and not the people of the United States. Subjects are those that are slaves, folks. They are the controlled, okay? So I like the word he uses of the subjects of the United States, meaning you and me, poses a grave threat to the peace, equal justice, and well-being of the United States. Now, listen to that. Continued private hoarding of gold and silver by the subjects of the United States, meaning the people, poses a grave threat to the peace, equal justice, and well-being of the United States. Now, how could that be, folks? If you have gold and silver, how can it pose a grave threat to the peace, equal justice, and well-being of the United States? But that's what the president says here. And he goes on and says, and that appropriate measures must be taken immediately to protect the interest of our people, unquote. Therefore, pursuant to the above authority, I hereby proclaim that such gold and silver holdings are prohibited, and that all such coin, bullion, and other possessions of gold and silver be tendered within 14 days to agents of the government of the United States for compensation at the official price, which was $35 an ounce, folks, in the legal tender of the government of the United States. All safe deposit boxes in banks or financial institutions have been sealed, pending action in the due course of the law. All sales or purchases or movements of such gold and silver within the borders of the United States and its territories, and all foreign exchange transactions or movements of such metals across the border are hereby prohibited. Your possession of these prescribed metals and or your maintenance of safe deposit box to store them is known by the government from bank and insurance records. Therefore, be advised that your vault box must remain sealed and may only be opened in the presence of an agent of the Internal Revenue Service. By lawful order given this day, the President of the United States, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, March 9, 1933. Folks, are executive orders ever rescinded? Are they ever null and void? Good question, isn't it? I don't know the answer to that. But anyway, Gary Webb put this out, and it was sent over to our Police and Military Association by Dan Anthony. I don't have any backup information, but it is something that I would expect our two police and military associations expect to happen during martial law. There is in executive orders, of course, that our last five presidents have put together, a hoarding law under national emergency. If you get caught hoarding food, all kinds of things. Gold, silver, gasoline, food, and so forth. You can be arrested for hoarding under a national emergency. So it all sounds familiar, doesn't it? And so you might want to ask some questions, as I think Gary Webb says here, his name's on this, ask his own bank personnel, and got an answer that they had had such a briefing from the communist Mikhail Chertoff and his ex-chief, ex-KGB chief and ex-Stasi chief from Germany, and their underlings, their agents, about Homeland Security confiscating safe deposit boxes. Just be aware, folks, that under martial law, we have been advised, our two police military associations, that your safety deposit boxes and your storage facilities, if you're renting a storage facility, will be secured, locked, and you won't be able to get into them if a national emergency is declared until they're opened by the government itself and they go through these secure areas. So that's what martial law and tyranny is all about, folks. So don't doubt that it will not be done. It's just that I do not know, and Dan Anthony doesn't know, about the validity of this particular email that came in. But according to what happened in 1933, it was done then, and there's a strong probability that it'll be done in the near future as the Bush crime family executes more tyranny and terrorist bombs going off in the United States to force the American people to psychologically accept martial law. And then these things would go into play. All right, let's go to our phones now. And, Paul, I forget who was holding on the phone. Is there somebody still on the phone? Ah, Roger in Pennsylvania. Roger, welcome to the Officer Jack McLam program.
Thanks, Brother Jack. And, of course, that's our signal, that is, for anybody with a half a brain or better to get anything valuable out of those safe deposit boxes.
Or anything, a good idea.
Anything inconvenient, for that matter. I've been trying to scan a few times, shove some of the show hosts into a box of just pumping out a few websites in the last few minutes of the show for things covered during the show.
Uh-huh.
And prayers for your tiny precious aren't too small a matter for God. And see, now that I regard you as family and all, and with your loss, I'm hurting too. So,
well, brother, thank you so much. Yes, it's a time a lot of us have gone through, and it's amazing how we fall in love with these little guys that bring us so much joy, isn't it?
The other thing was, you mentioned earlier on about, you know, building up harmony with the kids and the children of the community and the teenagers and all that, instead of having this perpetual state of enmity between the police and the public.
Yes.
And if you go back even, 30-plus years ago, before we had less of our police acting as revenue instruments for the government.
Amen to that.
Then, of course, you recall the Birchers way back then had the support your local police and keep them independent campaign. That was when we were fighting off the LEAA, the Law Enforcement Assistance Administration, the federalization of our local police.
I do remember that, yeah.
And if you can carry me over, please.
Sure will. Okay, brother, hang on there. We'll be right back with you after this break. And it looks like we're about ready to close out the program there. Okay, folks, we'll be right back with more of the Officer Jack McLam program. Stay tuned.
The future of health and wellness is here, and a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Zandones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
With Valentine's Day rapidly approaching on February 14th, the American Gold Rose Company reminds you that their beautiful collection of real roses dipped in 24-karat gold may be just what you're looking for. The Classic Rose is priced at only $49.95. It's 11 inches long and comes in a beautiful red gift box. There's the Hollywood Elite Rose for only $65, where your special someone receives a long-stem gold rose, 17 inches long, delivered to their door in a beautiful gold presentation box. Both are unique gifts. And when you buy any two gold roses, you'll receive free a genuine rose leaf dipped in 24-karat gold, a $30 value free. The American Gold Rose Company. Call now at 1-800-458-7134. That's 1-800-458-7134. Fresh cut roses dipped in 24-karat gold, delivered to their door, that last a lifetime. That's 1-800-458-7134 or online at AmericanGoldRose.com.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Folks, welcome back to the Officer Jack McLam program, and we have two more callers, but we have Roger in Pennsylvania finishing up with us right now. Roger, go right ahead, brother.
Yeah, and the Bill in the Harmony, and I recall it was back 8-10 years ago, the New American had on their front cover the winner of the National Police Officer of the Year Award, and it was a fellow white guy carrying, very carefully carrying a little black baby out of a fire.
Yes.
And, of course, I didn't find out until a few months later the guy happened to be a bircher, a longtime bircher.
Oh, really?
And
oh.
It just happened to make it on the front of the... So, you know, and those birchers, you know, according to the Lion Illuminati's, you know, those birchers are nothing but racist and anti-Semites,
yeah,
and et cetera.
Right.
You know. And, and lastly, I just want to go back to this. You mentioned, it was almost a year ago, this Nancy Red Star, American Indian, showed up complaining about you know, this Marxist screed, I guess, at an event you were at,
and
I expected. I always wanted to follow up with this. Probably the only problem with that American Indian woman Red Star, we would probably come to find, is not so much that she is against the Constitution, which is as you cast it, so much that she is, I expect, a Russell Means class communist.
Uh-huh.
And for which I wonder if the name Red Star was a given or an adopted name.
Well, she looked very much Jewish Gentile to me, looked like it and talked like it. Her language sounded like she was a New Yorker. So she didn't look anything like an Indian, but she was up there proclaiming to be a portion Indian. and accepted the name Red Star. So
that the Red Star is a symbol for communism, yes?
Yeah, that's right.
And
he didn't
mention that at the time, and to which I just joked, I wasn't aware that communism was an indigenous Indian ideology.
Yeah, I wasn't either.
Now, to the contrary, I recall about 10 years ago, also the New American ran an article, I'm sure there are others, by an American Indian woman showing how the Indians before the white man did respect property rights. Now, while many of them were nomadic and therefore saw little merit in land ownership, even then they had other property which they carried with them and whose property rights were respected.
Yeah.
And the same Indians, no doubt, did take care of their less fortunate neighbors. But it wasn't until the white man that they had various collectivism forced on them through various means, including the reservation system, where whitey insisted that certain collectivist structures prevail. You know, you couldn't only a quarter acre in which your shack was parked, and that was enough.
Right. That was a communist system, that reservation system.
Yeah, God bless.
Brother, I'll let you go. Okay? Thanks for calling. Let's go to Joe in Boston. Brother Joe, welcome to the program.
Hey, officer. I hope Rod said he didn't take all the time. He's got to be a little more quicker. Where can we get information on this and about martial law? Because I spoke with John today. He says the more you keep trying to tell people, at least you're planting a seed. I don't have the money. I want to send someone a link to the Senate bills, and Bush is supposedly in 2000, at the end of this year, going to start this martial law bit or something like that.
We don't know quite when he's going to do it, but we know that's the plan.
Where can we get the links?
Oh boy, I don't have a website that was sent over an email to us. So I just don't have much information on it.
Can you put it up on Republic Radio's website?
I'll talk to him about that. I've never done that, but maybe so. I'll talk to him about it.
Thanks.
Okay, brother. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. All right. Yeah, that's a good idea, Paul, if there's a way that you could get this up on the web. It's very interesting, and it could be the same thing that happened with Roosevelt, confiscating the gold and all. So I'll talk to Paul about that. Well, sorry, Arthur in Tennessee. Arthur, we didn't get to you, but call back tomorrow if you would. God bless all of you out there. Good to have you with us tonight. Don't forget, this old cop truly does love you, America. Good night.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
You're listening to RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network. RBN Live.